Now, I preached a sermon in chapel this past week on dreaming and what God says about dreaming. Now, we're not talking about dreams and visions and you know, seeing 500-foot Jesuses and God speaking to you in the night and things like that, okay? So I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 37. I'm going to preach a similar, it's not the exact messages. I would say about half of the message is pretty much pretty similar, Genesis chapter 37. And I just thought it would be a great idea to share some of these verses and preach this message. Genesis 37, and look at verse number 1. By the way, everybody dreams. And I mean, we all have a dream, okay? You remember you kids, you dreamed, you know, you dreamed that, you know, you'd hit the home run, you know, the winning home run. Or one of these days you're going to be, you know, on the Los Angeles Dodgers and you're going to be the first guy to ever hit 5 home runs, okay, in one game, okay? By the way, I'm not saying that's a good dream. I'm saying we're just dreamers, you know, or you're going to, you know, you were lifting weights one day and you thought, man, I'll be the first 110-pound guy to, you know, bench press 1,000 pounds. Charlie, you hit 110 already? Oh, okay, good. All right, great. I said if a guy 110 pounds, and Charlie put up his Bible. And so God has put in us. Now, most dreams are carnal, fleshly, selfish, self-motivated, self-driven, and all that. But we see in the Bible is filled with dreams. God came to Abraham and said, Abraham, you're going to be the father of a great nation. Whoa. Whoa. And by the way, he became a father of a great nation. That was a dream. That was a dream. Moses, you're going to deliver my people out of Egypt. That wasn't yesterday. That wasn't today. That was a dream. That was a vision. That's something in the future. Here's Joseph in Genesis chapter 37, verse number 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph was 17 years old. If you mark in your Bibles, put that 17. How many 16 and 7? Let's say 15, 16, and 7. Brother Rubio, I didn't say times 5. He started putting his hand up. How many 15, 16, and 17-year-olds? Raise your hand. 15, 16. Come on, Victor. 15, 16. Come on, put it up. 15, 16, and 17-year-olds. Okay? That's Joseph. He's just a kid. You know? He's just a young person. And so God picks him, points him out. Anthony, front row. What are you doing in the front row? Man, I'd like to see you on the front row. That's good. You don't have to pay any extra in the offering. How old are you? 16. Joseph was just a year older than you. Now let's look on. He was 17 years old, the Bible says. He was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. When his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Joseph dreamed. Can everybody say dreamed? Dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren. They hated him yet the more. Joseph had a little cockiness to him. He said, hey, guys, let me tell you this dream. You know, you guys were down, you know, sort of bowing down to me, and I was sort of your ruler. And they're like, yeah, right. Verse 6, and he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I've dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. He said, you guys were sort of bowing down to me. You guys were, I was like your authority. Verse 8, and his brethren said to him, shall thou indeed reign over us? Or shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told his brethren, excuse me, and said, behold, I've dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he's saying, man, I got the sun, the moon, the star. Everybody's making obeisance to me. Verse 10, and he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee? To the earth. Look at verse 11. And his brethren envied him. By the way, people with a dream, and we'll get to the last point. People with a dream from God, people envy them. You say why? They're going somewhere. They're not playing video games all day. I'm not talking to the teenagers. That was for the men. Yeah, there's a lot of men playing video games. Come on, don't get quiet on us. Yeah. You say, why are you playing video games? You don't have a dream. Not going anywhere. Father, help us to just look at your word and have the heart of God. That's all we want. As the girls were singing, let's hide behind Jesus. Hide behind the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I want you, please, if you would, to look over to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. God's people had not conquered all the land of Canaan, but they had conquered some. And now they were actually proportionately giving the different tribes their inheritance. And I want you to look at chapter 14, please, in verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Okay, that's Caleb. You remember Caleb and Joshua. 45 years, a little bit more than 45 years before this, they went into Canaan. And the Bible said that Caleb wholeheartedly followed God. But verse 6, and the children of Judah came unto Joshua and Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, this is Caleb talking to Joshua, he says, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee and Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought unto him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. Remember that group? Remember this, that the majority is not always right. Okay, and in that case, you had ten people that were wrong and two that were right, and the 10 messed it up for everybody. And Moses, verse 9, swear that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance. Okay, that was a vision. And thy children's forever. Okay, and that's true to this day. Because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. So he's now 85. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now I am this day 80, that's 4 times 20. He's 85 years old. So he's 85. Now look at verse 11. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. Now, look up here. I'm going to talk a little bit about this. Let's not get old before we get old. Now, we've been a young church for a while, but some of us, where'd Brother Myers go? He's 50. Okay? Now, I remember a day when I thought 50 was old. Let me make an announcement, proclamation. 50 ain't old. Yeah, thank you for amens. Okay? It's not almost old. Caleb was 85. You know what he said? He said, listen, I'm as strong as I was 45 years ago. Now, I have reason to believe that maybe he was evangelistically speaking. But he had his head screwed on straight. He wasn't in a rocking chair, you know, with just sitting there and just rocking his way to his demise, to his death. He said, listen, man, I'm as strong as I was when I was 40 years old. And he goes on to say, verse 11 again, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, and my strength was, and as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war. He says, man, I'm ready to go to war. 85. I like him. I like his attitude. I'm 40, my back. Come on. Enough of the 40 in your back. Okay, by the way, we all got back problems. I think everybody I know has a back problem. Some it's a little bit more severe. And a lot of them, the only time they have a back problem was when somebody needs somebody to help somebody pick something up. Okay? He said, as yet I am strong this day as I was in the day of Moses. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. Man, I like him. He didn't say, hey, what's my retirement? Can my pension kick in early? He said, give me this mountain. Okay? Whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakins, remember the son of the Anakins, remember all that talk, the giants and all that were there? And that the cities were great and fenced. Now look at this. This is just sort of a little passing thought here. He says, if so be the Lord. Now he's asking for his inheritance. He's just sort of just giving a little history lesson here. He said, if so be the Lord will be with me. He said, listen, all what I just said, I'm going to throw a little deal in here, Joshua. He said, if the Lord be with me, and then that's good stuff. He's not getting proud and arrogant. He just sort of, he's saying, if the Lord, he said, then shall be, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And he did. I want you to turn over to Joshua chapter 15, please. Look at verse 13. Caleb's still working. I mean, Caleb's still leading. Caleb still's motivating. He's still being a leader here. Verse 13. And unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord, to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. Remember, there's all kinds of spots around where there were still Canaanites, and there were still battles to be won. In verse 14, and Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak. Yes, he did what he said. He said, if God be with me, I'll take care of these guys. Sheshai and Ahimam and Talmai, the children of Anak. He took them out. He drove them thence. Verse 15, and he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir. And the name Debir before was Kirjath-Sefer. And Caleb said, Now, Caleb's going to start motivating here. Now, some of you dads, I would not encourage you to do this. And Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath-Sefer and taketh it to him, will I give Ashta, my daughter, to wife. And he said, you take that group out right there, you can have my daughter. But I tell you what, if someone will finish that building in three months, you can have one of my daughters. Amen? He was motivating, okay? Verse 17. And Othniel, somebody said, man, he's got some cute girls. He says, I like that one. Othniel was listening, man. He's like, what? Remember David? Remember Saul said, you know, take him out and, you know, you can have this, this, and that. And also in that was, there's a little bullet point. And you have one of my daughters. And David said, what'd he say? You know, we think he did it only for spiritual reasons. David also said, what'd he say? And somebody repeated it. And he's going, I'm going to do it in the name of the Lord. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb. All right, don't read into it. Little Kentucky stuff going on here. The brother of Caleb took it, and if you're from Kentucky, I'm just kidding. Don't have sensitive feelings here, okay? Listen, we all kid around about our nationalities and all that stuff. We understand Kentucky is a country of its own. Where are we? Back to the Bible. The brother of Caleb took it, and he gave him Eshsa, his daughter, to wife. You say, Pastor, what's the point? There's a lot of points there. But one thing is this. It's really great. Here's this older man, 85. He didn't say, hey, where can we retire? He said, hey, listen, I want my mountain. And he said, if God be with me, we're also going to send the sons of Anak. Then he gets the group together. He says, hey, guys, we're going to motivate you. It's you're not too old to have a vision. Okay? Would you look at one portion? Look at John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Brother Myers, Mrs. Dorothy Myers' memorial service yesterday, saw people I hadn't seen in 35 years. People I hadn't seen in 40 years. But it's dangerous to get around people like that. I'm telling my wife and kids, guys, get out of here. Okay. They're gonna tell all the different things that Brother Myers did as a kid. I don't want you to know about it. But I felt good. I'm like, man, I'm not old. We're all 50 years old. Listen, man, we got a lot of life left. You're only as old as you think you are. Okay? By the way, this is for about 5 people in our church, but you're going to get one of these, oh, well, you know, I can't do that anymore. I'm 40. I can't wait for that gym. Now, that gym is going to be like a hook to get people saved, but I'm looking forward to the 50 and over basketball league. I think I'll be the Michael Jordan of that league. Spud Webbs, I got 5 inches on him. John chapter 12. Who said Spud Webbs? Who was that? You, Chip? You're fired. John chapter 12. Look at 24. Hey, you're not Goliath yourself. Look at verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. You know, before that seed that you, those of you that maybe grow different vegetables and gardens, before that seed can grow, the outside has to die, and it cracks, and it comes up, germinates. Really, what he's saying, really, before we can really grow and be what God wants us to, we have to die. Okay, then he goes on to say, It abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Look at verse 25. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. I ask this tonight. What's your dream? What's your dream? We'll fine tune it. What's your dream? What are you dreaming about? What is it? And by the way, maybe you single guys dreaming about getting married. By the way, that's a good dream. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Man, I'm glad I'm married. It's lonely not being married. Going home at night. I remember going home. I remember when I was in college, it was so busy, I just flopped on the bed. And I wasn't very lonely. When I graduated, I lived off campus. And because I worked a full-time job and, you know, full-time college and full-time ministry. And I was just, but when I got out, I actually, my mind was clear. And I got home and I'm going, this is lonely. This is not good. Not good for a man to be alone. Just go to my son's, especially my little son's, their bedrooms. Not good for those boys to be alone. They need to get married. They're only 10, but they need to get married. What's your dream? What's your dream? Let me say tonight, we see that Joseph, God came to Joseph when he was 17. Just young, he was young. I want to challenge us tonight. Let's dream, and I'm going to get to the little bit more of a spiritual application, because this is all spiritual, but I want to try to get your mind. Dream young. You don't have to be 30 to dream for God. Dream young. Joseph was 17 years old when God gave him a dream. Now, don't be proud and haughty. 2 Samuel 22:28, but thine eyes are upon the haughty that thou mayest bring them down. Don't get some dream and think that you're somebody big and God just puts you down. The teacher looked over the student's shoulder that was about 10 and watched as the student made his little flower and his petals. And the teacher looked over his name was Walt, looked over the student's shoulder and said, Walt, flowers don't have faces. And Walt looked up to his teacher. He said, my flowers have faces, Mrs. Smith. And he went on. That was Walt Disney. Walt Disney was dreaming. Now, I'm sure he didn't have the Matterhorn, and I'm sure he didn't have, you know, it's a small world, all. But he was dreaming as a 10-year-old. Hey, parents, take the phone and take the games out of your kids' hands and help them to dream for God. They don't have to wait until they're 30 and 40, and by that time, they've probably wasted their life. Dream. You can dream young. I mentioned in chapel this past week, there used to be a day when young people, not everybody's going to ministry. We have a high percentage. We have about 5% of our people going to ministry. We understand that. But there was a day when young people were called to the mission field when they were children. They weren't watching television. They weren't in video games. It wasn't all play. By the way, I believe it's okay to play. We play with our children. But listen, life is not all playing. You say, why are these 21-year-olds and 25-year-olds and 30-year-olds still playing? Because all they did as a child was play. Teach them to work. Teach them to walk with God and help them to dream. So how do you help them to dream? The same way they're becoming expert. You say, Pastor, why is video games? Because I see my kids, they want to use my phone. I said, what are you doing? They say, we want to play. I said, go play downstairs reading a book. All you computer people, I don't know how to do this still. To this day, I don't. And you can call me dumb. I on purpose don't know how to get on the internet. My kids do it for me. My wife does it for me. I don't trust myself, whatever. But they'll do something, do a search on Adoniram Judson. And we've sat down and watched 30 or 45-minute cartoons about Adoniram Judson. You say, Pastor Carl, I loved it. It inspired me. And you know what it does? I think it puts a little seed thought in my kids' minds about being somebody for God. Dream young. Turn a TV off, and instead of YouTubing, YouTubing how to be cool for the kids, how about YouTubing Hudson Taylor? How about YouTubing some great man, or maybe some great leader of the past? How about YouTubing children? I don't know how this came up. Someone sent this to me. There was this little kid. He was about 2 years old, and he was preaching. Has anybody seen that? It's called a kid preacher. This kid's 2 years old. He's yelling and screaming, and he's yelling and screaming, and he's going like this. He can't even talk yet. Now, I'm not sure. That's almost sacrilegious, but I'm like, I like that kid. It's a lot better than video games. Kids are 6 months old now playing video games. They're coming, you know, out of the womb speaking lies. Well, no, they're coming out of the womb playing video games. You say, what's the thing with video? I think we're wasting too much time on that stuff. Okay? So, well, my kid knows video 2, 4, 7, 5, 5, 5. They need to know more than that. Dream young. Dream old. Well, if you dream as an old when as you get older, you'll probably live longer. They say that average person that retires dies in 3 years. I figure I won't ever retire, and then I won't ever have to die. Caleb, we just read about, I've said this before, Colonel Sanders was 65 years old when he started Kentucky Fried Chicken. Come on, man, that's important. He didn't just sit around and say, oh, well, it's time to retire. You know what he said? Hey, let's do something with our life. Brother Ermler was here about a month ago. He's 55, started a church 20 plus years ago, turned it over to his son, and he just started a new church in Simi Valley. 55 years old. I got a new hero. His name is, I don't even know his first name, Brother Ermler. Well, you know, a lot of these claim folks, of course not these folks here, but a lot of the claim folks and the people that come and help us, they're out there working. They're in their 50s and 60s. You know what they're saying? We got a life to give to the God. Man, they inspire me. Now, Mrs. Ryerson is like 25. Brother Ryerson's like 40. Brother Ed's like 32. It's older. We're getting a little older, okay? Some of us, a few of us. Don't say, oh, well, you know, I wish when I was 15. Quit wishing you were when you were 15. You ain't going to be 15. But won't you say, listen, I'm 30 or I'm 40 or I'm 45. And listen, God came to, Caleb was 85 and he said, hey, listen, and he wasn't. He was not as strong. Come on now. You're not as strong when you're 80. I'm 52. I'm not as strong as I was when I was 30. But listen, I can mentally be strong and I can spiritually be strong. And I can say, listen, doesn't matter how old I am, I can still serve the Lord. Dream young, dream old, dream again. Dream again. By the way, John 12, we read in 24, 25, and 26, and really, it's really part of that is dying to self, and it's also the death of a vision. Joseph, God came to him and gave him a dream, and then for 13 years, his dream just sort of diminished. Abraham gave him a dream of being a father of a great nation, and for decades, he couldn't have children, but he didn't quit, and he didn't compromise, and he kept going forward. David, you know, Samuel anoints him, and then all of a sudden, boom, he's out in the forest, and he's out in the Adullam's cave, and he's running like an animal from Saul. You say, what is it? It's a death of a dream. But often during a death of a dream, it's like, man, my dreams were either shattered or they didn't come to pass. You say, what happens? God's doing something in your soul. God's breaking you, and he's humbling you, and he's helping you, and he's teaching you, and it's time so that he can work in you so that dream can come to pass. Dream again. Some of us need to dream again for our children. We had a dream that our children were going to walk straight and walk right and walk godly. Maybe they compromised. Maybe they got in trouble. Maybe they don't have the passion that that you want them to have or you think God wants them to have. Let me say this. Dream again for your kids. Don't give up on your children. Say, listen, get on your knees and say, God, give me a vision to help pass to my children and pray for them and help them. Our marriages, well, you know, we all had a dream to have the perfect marriage. Remember that dream? And then 3 days into the honeymoon, almost perfect marriage. Okay, remember that dream? Let's dream again that we can have a quality marriage. Dream again for your children. Dream again for your marriage. Dream again for the cause of Christ. Listen, I want to, number one, glorify God. I want to love God. I want to love my wife and love my children, rear my children. But you say, Pastor, what do you dream about? Doing something great for God. By the way, that's a wholesome dream. It's a worthy dream. It's an honorable dream if it's for God. Dream again. Dream young. Dream old. And then dream big. Dream big. God comes to Abraham and says, I want you to be a father of a great nation. He's going, huh? Can you say that again? He's saying, out of your loins is going to be a great nation. Okay? I mean, a great, you're, back in those days, it was like, there wasn't like real big populations around in like it is here in our day. It wasn't 7 billion people. That was a big dream. God came to Joseph, showed his brothers, all of his brothers. He's the young one. He's the Cambodian, they call him Bo, right? What do you say in Spanish, the youngest? You guys got something for Spanish? What is it? Filipino, you have something for? Cambodian's the only people that. Bo. The young one. The babied one. Okay? Who did God come to? Joseph. You know, the cocky one. He came to him. He said, you know what? Your brothers are going to follow you. Your parents are going to follow you. The stars and the moon is going to follow you. That was a big dream. By the way, someone once said, small dreams move no man's soul. He said, Pastor, why do you have such a big dream? Because I want my soul moved. And by the way, that dream comes from the right source. God's dream for Joseph, God's dream for Abraham, God's dream for Moses. I told a story when I was here this past week. When I was, I'll never forget, I was in high school. When I was in high school, I took welding, and then they would take us to City College, and they would give us, and when you're in 12th grade, you can take a college class. And I took welding. Don't ask me, Brother Albert, I'm not going to weld over there. But anyway, I took welding. And it's different, heli arc and gas, acetylene, oxygen, you know, arc, all the different welding. And I never forget, I was there, and I was from Jordan High School, and there's different people from all the different high schools would go there. And we'd sit around, we'd have a snack break, and one guy, very, real serious, he's, you know, we're all seniors, 17, yeah, sometimes you're 18. And the guy, he says, I got a dream. I'm like, what? He said, I have a dream of being a millionaire when I'm 40. By the way, he wasn't kidding around. He wasn't playing with a video game. He was dead serious. Oh, then he said this. I have an uncle that's a millionaire that's 40. By the way, watch out who your models are. He said, that's my dream. That's my vision. Okay. Well, I'm not trying to motivate anybody to be a millionaire when you're 40. Just the point is, here's a 17-year-old kid in high school. The guy's thinking about 40. Most people don't think past lunch. Dream big. Dream big. There is little kid Walt Disney. And I don't know all the story. I read it somewhere. Here he is. He's dreaming. He's dreaming about this little fairy tale land. And little did he know that that little fairy tale land would be probably the biggest entertainment. I don't know what you call those. What are those called? Theme park. I don't know if that's a theme park, family theme park, in the world. Cindy, is it true they have a Disneyland in China? Come on. They got Disneyland in China. Pretty soon they're going to have Disneyland in Cambodia. I live in Clearwater, Florida. They had a Disneyland out there in Florida. Dream big. Dream big. I talked to Brother Hawking a couple times. They start 100 churches. I've never talked to him about the details, but I'll tell you this. You don't start 100 churches in Africa. You might want to talk to him. He's a missionary in Africa. He was a missionary in Africa 57 years. You don't start 100 churches in Africa by osmosis. It doesn't happen by accident. You say, what happened? They walk with God. He probably got a team together, and they won people to Christ, and they baptized them. They started a church, and they're going, wait a minute. Listen, they probably studied the book of Acts, and they said, look at Paul. He's going from city to city to city, and God used that book, those stories there in the book of Acts to inspire them. They said, listen, we can do something great for God here in Africa. Dream big. Years ago when I was in Bible college, God gave this to me, and I'll get to that in a minute. I dreamed of just reaching many Asian people. Many. During that time, Cambodia was communist. By the way, some of this was just daydreaming? And obviously, it really came from God. You know, sometimes your dreams, they mix in with daydreaming and from God. But I dreamed somehow getting into Cambodia. It was a communist country, real communist. That was in 1980 and 81. You couldn't fly back and forth to Cambodia like you can now. When I went there in 1989, it was a communist country, no churches. You couldn't have a Bible study. Now, of course, it's open. I dreamed. We came here, and little by little, God has allowed us to see the dream come to pass. And then let me say lastly, dream for God. Dream young, dream old, dream big, dream again, but more important than anything else, dream for God. Listen, this is not the power of positive thinking, church. We want to challenge you to dream for God. You say, how do you do that? You get on your knees. You pray. You study the Bible. You read biographies. You get around holy and godly people. And the next thing you know it, your passions and your dreams and your drives and your vision are godly dreams and visions. By the way, parents, be careful who your children hang out with, because their dreams and their visions are going to be determined by who they're running around with. Throw away the secular books on dreams and visions. You say, what do? They use all secular. I mean, I use Walt Disney. That's a secular one. But they use all the secular and these, you know, Bill Gates and all these guys. Those guys had a dream. They just weren't God. I mean, they've helped humanity and so forth. But I would not want to lead you in any way in a message like this to go out and dream and be somebody for yourself and build something big for yourself. And someday you have nothing at the judgment seat of Christ. You're not pleasing God, and you're not doing anything for the cause of Christ, and you're not winning people to Christ. You're not bringing lost or bringing wayward Christians back to God. That's not right. Don't waste your time and energy dreaming for your own self. Jeremiah 45:5 says, "Seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not." You can dream young and dream old and dream again and dream big, all that, but dream for God. Godly dreams. Dreaming for God takes spiritual effort on your part. In the early days as a pastor, I learned the Bible, and I had, like Brother Goddard said, man, I had some older guys that knew more than me, and I'd trust their wisdom and getting advice from them. And now that I'm a little older, I look back and look at, of course, hey, obviously, I'm 24 years as a pastor and 26 years as a husband and 25 years as a father, made mistakes. But one thing that's been really disheartening is to watch people that one time they had a dream. And they had a big dream, and it was for God. And they lose their way. Usually they lose their way during that John chapter 15. God says he purges us. Okay? We learn there's hard times. They run. They lose their way. They get lost. I don't mean they get lost, lose their salvation, but they get lost. Heard a story about a grandpa, and his grandpa had his, all grandpas love grandchildren, and all of our grandchildren are the most beautiful. He can be as ugly as sin, but he's the cutest kid in town. And this grandpa was talking about his little 3-year-old granddaughter. And they took their little 3-year-old granddaughter hiking up in the mountains. When you're hiking and there's a forest and there's no road, if you don't have a compass and you don't know what you're doing, you can get lost like that. Okay, happen. We hear about it all the time. And they turned their head, and boom, the three-year-old granddaughter was out of sight. You say, what did they do? They panicked. And they're like, no way. Where'd she go? They begin to look. And, of course, after 15 minutes of your three-year-old granddaughter disappearing, you're looking at every trunk, everything. They couldn't find her. Then they started calling for search, rangers, helicopters. And they say that children, if they're lost, they'll go downhill. And so they got this search and rescue operation going, spread out for a couple miles, going downhill. 30 minutes, no three-year-old. 1 hour, no three-year-old. 2 hours, no three-year-old. 3 hours, the grandpa is beside himself. No three-year-old. And after 3 hours, they're checking rivers, creeks. They're like, no sign of her. He's a Christian man. He falls on his face and he says, oh, Lord, you can have my future, my career. And he said, you can have my life. Please help us to find my granddaughter. And he literally was exhausted. He fell on his face in his 60s. And he couldn't get up for a little bit. He was physically and mentally and emotionally drained. And he went back to where they had a little camp, you know, now radios and all these different agencies there helping them. And 3 hours, and they're, of course, after 3 hours, little three-year-old, sun's going down, you're thinking, wow, we'll never find her. And all of a sudden, there was somebody with a radio. They said, we just found the little girl. Of course, tears of joy. And they said, where is she? She's 2.5 miles up the mountain. No one looking for her found her. Because they were always going, everybody was going down the mountain. What three-year-old is going to climb the mountain? This is not the mountain climbing club for three-year-olds. Some school teacher was hiking up there and saw a little girl sitting there. She comes up to her. She says, what are you doing here, honey? And the girl says, I can't talk to strangers. She says, I'm a teacher. I'm not a stranger. She said, okay. She said, what happened? She said, my grandpa's lost. She's just sitting there. She's going, I don't know. Where'd grandpa go? She wasn't worried about herself. She says, where's grandpa? They brought her down, and of course, grandpa's there. This was grandpa's hike with his granddaughter. And what do you think the grandpa said? Lisa! Why you do this to us? We're very upset at you. I can't believe what you did. Do you know you had the whole world looking for you? No, that's not what he said. He grabbed his little granddaughter and hugged her and just said, I love you. I love you. You know, some of us, really, we're not lost. We haven't lost our salvation. We don't believe in that. The Bible doesn't teach that. We've lost our way. We've lost our way. Life is so, and here's the challenge. Maybe you come to this altar tonight and get on your knees and say, God, he's not mad at you. He's not upset with you. You've just lost your way. You've got detoured. Who knows? Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's the world. Maybe it's the flesh. Maybe it's the devil. Maybe someone. Maybe you're a teenager. You're a young adult. Or you're middle age. Or you're a young couple, and you had a dream and you had a vision, and God gave you that dream and God gave you that vision. Somehow you ended up on that mountain. And God has His arms open. He's saying, "I love you. Let's go do something great for God." Let's bow our heads. Let's stand together. Our heads bowed, eyes closed.